himself. I'm going to speak tonight a bit about something. Deep calls unto deep. I'm going to read a piece of Psalm. It's the only place in the scriptures where there's a reference of deep calls unto deep. It says there in Psalm 42, verse 7. Go all see there. It says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. I'm a surfer, so when the Lord speaks about waves, I get very excited. But I'm not going to focus on the second part of this verse tonight. I'm going to focus on the deep calls unto deep. One of our people that's joined us here in our congregation, we went on Thursday and we had a ball of a time there in the water. Ned Daniel. I say we're still small, so I can call out the people. But if you want to either join our praise and worship team or on the other side, if you want to relax a bit and you want me to take you in the waves, I'll do it with all gladness because the Vic Bay locals are quite hardcore guys. They don't want us in the water. So if we can get a majority in the water, then we start ruling there. That's why I want you there. Okay? So you can put on your flarkies. What's those little stuff that you blow up? If you can't swim, we'll take you with. We just want numbers in the water. Okay. But it speaks about there when deep calls unto deep. It says that the noise of your waterfalls. And when I looked at the commentaries and of the background of that, what this psalmist writes there, I thought it was a waterfall that goes in a river and it falls down a cliff or something. But that's not the case. It speaks about that place where God created the earth and He's made the land and the sea, and it speaks about those deepness of the sea. And it includes the waterfalls that comes through the river, but it speaks about that place, a depth that is so deep that only until now I think National Geographic can't even send their little submarines down to those depths yet. A depthness of God. And I was preaching this morning in Mossel Bay the same sermon because I feel it's prophetic for us both congregations. And afterwards a man came to me and said, but what about the height of God? Because He's quite high. So tonight, if you think He's high, He is high and lifted up. He is the highest authority of all. But tonight, I'm not going to talk about Him being highly exalted. I'm going to talk about that depth where God calls us to, a place of intimacy. Because the thing is, there comes a time in each person's life that we have to look beyond ourselves. We have to look beyond what we can see with our eyes. We have to look beyond what we can see with our ears. And we even have to look beyond what we can perceive with our minds or conceive in our hearts. And that's something that happens to every person, whether you're a believer in a God or Jesus Christ, doesn't matter. Every person on this earth gets confronted with that thing. That there must be something that's greater than just myself. There must be something in this life that's beyond, like Peter Pollock said, the big I Trinity, me, myself, and I. There's something greater. And most of us, if you start listening to those voices that come in your head or conversations about people, if you get honest with yourself, you want to find out why are those questions in our hearts? Why are those questions in our minds? Why is there something? Because even since we are born, there's something in each and every human being that says there's more than just myself. There's more than just that place of coming and say, but I live for myself, I do things for myself, I survive for myself. Because if we look only unto ourselves, we don't find life. We find a mortal being that comes back to dust in a breath of God. That's who we find. But when it comes to intimacy, it's to know that there's something greater than what we can hope for. There's something greater than we can think of. There is something greater than we can understand. And these are questions that we all are confronted with one stage or another in our lives. Whether we are 10 years old, whether we are 20 years old, whether we are 80 years old, these questions come to each and every human being on the face of this earth. It comes in different forms, it comes in different ways. Sometimes it's just a thought that runs through your head. Sometimes it's something that's on your heart. Sometimes it's a neighbor speaking to you about something and it triggers something else in your life to say, well, there must be more than just myself. And whether we start taking that to heart and whether we start listening to that unction to move with it will bring us closer to one thing, and that is to realize that God has created every human being to be intimate. He has created us to be intimate. And we could go see when he created Adam and Eve, he created them in an intimate state. They were so intimate that even they didn't wear clothes, but they didn't even know it because they didn't have to hide anything, because there was an intimacy that was so pure, so full of God, so from the throne of God, that nothing could shake it until the enemy came and he shook it. And it's really a place to know that the enemy does everything in his capability, everything in his power to shake us from intimacy. And I'm going to tell tonight, most of us are believers here, but if we run out into this world, we will see people hunger for identity. We will see people hunger for acceptance. We will see people doing stuff that they normally won't do because of that place of intimacy. Each and every one of us has been designed to be intimate. And tonight the good news is that design is there so that we can be intimate first and foremost with our Creator. But not all of us know that. I struggled for 21 years in my life before I realized that, man, that intimacy that I was longing after, that intimacy that I found in other people or stuff that I did, it wasn't for those things or for those people. It was for God. And only when we start moving into that intimacy with God, we start moving into a place where we say, Lord, now I can experience life. And that's what some people like the Pharisees missed totally. Jesus came to bring that intimacy back. He came because there was only a few people in the Old Testament, people like Moses, people like David, they understood that place of intimacy. They understood that place of coming. They understood that place of coming boldly before the throne of grace, coming before God and say, Lord, you have created me to be intimate because you are intimate. And we see it in the God Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three different persons, but yet one. The ultimate, the epitome of intimacy. And that's where God has called us for, because Jesus even prays, and this is way off my topic now, but I just believe I need to say, Jesus even prays in John 17 when he says, Father, make them one as you and I are one. Because Jesus knew about that intimacy. He knew he came for that, and that's what he came for, to restore intimacy on this earth. Those of you that were here last week with the big team, it was the ministry training program team. They've halved our attendance tonight because they were about 20 people with the kids running here last weekend. But Yanni came to preach. Those of you were here, and he ended off his sermon with Job 1, verse 21 to 22. And it speaks about that place where Job lost everything, but yet he came and he said, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I bless your name. You give and you take away. But I'm not going to let my intimacy with you be taken away. You can take everything away, but my intimacy with you will not change. And we believe truly, the first time when we preached here 4 weekends ago, when I preached Job 1 verse 21 to 22 was in my sermon as well. And I believe it's prophetically that God has given us that as a key, not just for just this year, but for this town and for us as a congregation, is to say, Lord, we want intimacy with you. We want to move in that place where we say, Lord, but doesn't matter what comes against us. Doesn't matter what circumstances come. Doesn't matter if we are blessed out of our socks or whether our socks are taken away. We want to be intimate with you. And it's a place where we come in and we say, Lord, because that strategy of what the Holy Spirit has given us to say, but he wants to take us to a place of praise and worship. He wants to take us where we worship the God, our God and our Savior and our Redeemer in spirit and in truth. And it's sometimes going to cost us. It's going to cost us to bring a sacrifice of praise. The Word of God speaks about that. It's to come and say, Lord, but I don't see your goodness with my eyes. I don't perceive your greatness with my ears or my eyes. I don't understand your faithfulness with my mind if I look at my circumstances. But yet I will rejoice in my God of my salvation. Yet I will come on a Sunday and I will come and I will proclaim your greatness. I will proclaim your goodness. I will proclaim your faithfulness. And it sounds a bit like a New Age show when we speak about like that. But that's that place where deep calls unto deep. Where we say, God, our intimacy with you is our greatest prize on this earth. I don't have kids yet, but we've got two little rabbits. We've had five. There's only two left. Because they climb through what's a hockey? Cage. Cage sounds like it's a prison. Hockey sounds like it's cozy. Well, anyway, there's a big cage that they're in. They can run. They've been running like a track around. It's like this thick in the ground already. They run every morning when they come out. They stretch and they start running like crazy rabbits for about 10 minutes. But anyway, so I don't have kids, so I can't talk about intimacy with my rabbits. But we've got a like Bernard and Vilmi that I've mentioned there. It was so they gave birth to, well, not they, Vilmi gave birth to Layla. Bernard thought he gave birth, but he didn't. He thought he had all the pain and the stuff going there. But it was amazing that first Sunday on the 7th of February, there that Zaya, their due date was the 30th of Jan. Huh? So there that Zaya was because they've been waiting for Shofar George to come quite a long while. They hope that it was last year in November so that they can join us with lots of services. So their desire was that the baby will just come after the church service, the first one. So the 7th of February came, and they were all glad because Vilmi was here and Layla was still in a womb, and Bernard was here, and they were all excited. And then me and Bernard were still, we were like real men. We were already getting together on that 8th, on the Monday night. So we're discussing after the service, okay, Bernard, I'll see you Monday night. I'm going to give him some training on our small groups, coaching and so forth. And then Vilmi shouts from the other side of the car. He shouts, he says, Bernard, Layla's coming. Don't make any appointments. So Bernard looks at me and goes, don't worry, she's just pregnant. Don't worry about her. So we made the appointment, and by 4:20 that morning, it was, it's 8 hours after we made the appointment, SMS came through. Vilmi's in labor. So when Bernard phoned and stuff, 12 o'clock, to say, it's Dad, Bernard. Layla was born just after 9, but he phoned us at 12. I said, don't worry about tonight's meeting. And he still said, no, it's, oh, thank you. Thank you that you can excuse me. I thought, yeah, this guy's got a Sharma in him. Because I would have just left it. I would have not even thanked the guy if I had a meeting like that. But it's amazing to know that they actually build up, if you go speak to them afterwards, they've built up an intimate relationship with Layla over that 9 months. So when Layla came, I was laughing when we visited them there in the hospital. Bernard will say, Layla, it's your dad speaking. And he says, you used to hear it like this. Layla, Layla. But now you're hearing it much clearer. It wasn't more Layla. It's now very clear. So I was looking at him. I thought, okay, that's probably a dad thing. And he was out of it for, I think he's still out of it a bit. When you speak to him and his little girl is there, and he's like, ooh, zoned in. Because of that place of intimacy. And that's, I can't speak about it because my rabbits don't give me that much intimacy as a baby. But I can believe that every wife or every woman that's given birth, or even a dad that's been alongside his wife when they gave birth to their child, can speak about that place of intimacy. And that's so amazing when a child like that gets born, because that's God's desire. And that's even when Jesus speaks to us and he says, but we need to be born again. He speaks about that place of coming back to that place of intimacy. Coming to that place. And that's why I'm very devastated. I was, the first week when we came in November, I was just driving around. That's what we learn at the ministry training program. But I've been doing it when we went to Malmesbury as well and so forth. I just drive around the town looking for venues, but that's actually secondary. But just praying a bit. Just praying with God, just driving around town, trying to pick up what the Lord wants to tell me. And I was coming down Wellington Street. I didn't know it was Wellington Street that day, but I just came down the street. I was praying, and the next moment I just felt this, you know, when you feel like I've had it on Wednesday. I ate a wimpy burger, and the gherkin on it wasn't good. So, you know, that feeling. So I just felt it here in my spirit. I felt there's something wrong here. And I looked up, and I saw that clinic that's here in Wellington Street. That abortion clinic. I tell you, I started crying as I drove past there. Because the murder is bad. But it's not the murder that devastates God. It's robbing people from that gift of intimacy. It's robbing people from that place of coming to say, but I've got someone inside of me and he's been taken away. And yes, I'm not saying the murder is not wrong. But I believe greater than that, a higher degree in God's eyes and in His heart is that gift of intimacy that's being robbed. And I know I'm new in the town, so I've made a decision. I've told the Lord, Lord, I'm going to hook up with people. I'm going to get people organized. And we're going to close that place down. Because there's no place for places like this where God wants to reign in a town. And it's really a place when I drove past there, because normally when it comes into your town, there's nothing like that in Stellenbosch or where we came from. I know there came one like that in Mossel Bay. I think it was 3 years ago. When did it come? Closed down in the first 2 months. People just protested. The mayor just said, no ways. They closed it down. And it's amazing. Obviously, we're coming new into the town. We pick up these things because we as humans, we get used to stuff that happens in and around us. I was actually with a shock when we were just eating lunch this afternoon. I switched on the TV to see if there's cricket or anything. And I saw on SABC One, they have an anti-rape campaign. They've got a clock in the left-hand side going. And every 26 seconds, the number just adds. Started with one, and it goes 2, 3, 4. Because every 26 seconds, someone gets raped in South Africa. So it's devastating. It's devastating, that place. And they interviewed some of the ladies. They were just short snippets. It was just like an awareness campaign that they had on the TV. And when they speak about that, you realize it's that intimacy that is lost. And it's when I came to salvation the year after that, I did service here for Christ in Tembisa. I'm way off my topic here tonight, but I agree you like my stories because you're still looking at me and nobody's yawning. But I did service here for Christ in Tembisa. We stayed in Kempton Park West. And one of the girls that was on my team, I asked her afterwards, after everything happened and she went through it, if I can always tell a testimony. She said yes. Her name was Angie. Angie was the year before I was there. She had a year and she laid down her life. She actually came from George. I've tried to get contact with her. I don't know if she still stays here and stuff. Because it was a long time ago. But she did the service here for Christ there in Tembisa, helping with the AIDS, helping with the orphans, helping with people that's sick and bedridden and so forth. So it's a great job in a terms, more like a Mother Teresa job that she did there for the whole year. They had 3 weeks to go, and she went to the shop. If you stay in Kempton Park West, there was a Dutch Reformed church that we joined there. And just left to it is a small shopping, like there's some tools that you can hire, and then there's a cafe. And the house where they stayed was literally like two houses from the cafe. And as normal, when she walks there, and she comes out, she buys something, goes home. That night, I think it was the 4th of November, I can't remember exactly, but it was the first week in November. She walked to that shop. She came back. Three men grabbed her. There's a big bush about a kilometer away from there. They took her there. They raped her. And they just left her there. And I didn't know about it. I became the team leader that year. The next year, she was on my team. And I could see every time when we went to the shop, you know, she didn't like it. We would all climb out. I would tell her, hey, must I get you a Coke? Must I get you a Fanta? She said, no, she doesn't want anything. I couldn't understand it until about February that year when she opened up and she spoke to me about the whole situation. And she said she's lost her intimacy with God. She's so angry. She's angry towards those men. She's angry towards God. I remember and I asked her, I said, why did you come back? Because I wouldn't. I wouldn't even come back to that region if I stay here in the Southern Cape. I would go to another place. I wouldn't go back to Kempton Park. She said, because you didn't have to. And she said, because I want to restore that what has been stolen from me, I want it back. I remember that year in November, it was like a year just after it happened. It was the worst day of her life. And about 6 or 7 days after that, she came out of her room and she was smiling. And she said, Paul, I forgave them. I can see Jesus again. And it's amazing. It's amazing the length that she went through to say, Lord, I didn't want that. But someone came, the enemy came and he stole my intimacy. He stole my intimacy from me. But she decided and she said, Lord, I'm going to take that intimacy back. It took her 373 days of hardship. Because every day we stayed further away from that cafe. But when you drive out of our driveway, if you looked across the field, there was a playing field. About 700 meters on that side, the cafe was there. She faced it, the reality, every day. And she said, she walked out of that year, she said, I'm a free woman. I'm a free woman. If I see them now, I won't hit them. I'll just tell them, you have been forgiven. And it's not something that I wish upon anybody. But the courage of Angie to go up and stand and say, Lord, Even if I wasn't like Adam or Eve that did it by myself by eating it, but someone came from the outside and stole my intimacy, I'm taking it back. And I believe truly that that's the courage that God wants us to live in. That's the courage of where God brings us to, where He says, but He understands our pain. He understands a place where sometimes it's not our fault. Sometimes it's not us that brings us to that place where we break the intimacy, but to fight forward. To say, Lord, your grace is enough. And it's really, I'm not saying that Angie could have done it in 2 weeks. I'm not saying she could have done it in 10 years to forgive those men. She took a year and a bit, but she did it. I don't know where she's now. I had contact with her last time about four and a half years ago. And she was doing well. And she was really at that place where she was just growing with God and moving with God. And I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe the enemy has stolen from you. Or maybe you have allowed something in your life to steal God's intimacy from you. It's to fight forward. If the enemy stole it from you, come and speak with me that we can walk a road with you. If you have blocked the intimacy from God from yourself by either not wanting to spend time with God or stuff like that, you can also come and speak with me. But I want to encourage you tonight. Grab hold of that intimacy. Grab hold of it. Because it stands in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 to 12 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And I want us just to stop there. It says there, for God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. There's something that God wants to do, and that's why Jesus said, He said, I'm going back to heaven for our benefit, so that I can send the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, so that He can come and reveal in our lives the deep things of God. And it's so amazing when it comes to this place of intimacy, when it comes to the place to standing before God and say, Lord, I want all of you. God says, great, I'll give it to you. But it's something that we won't be able to see with our eyes. It's something that we won't be able to hear in our ears. It's something that we won't even be able to conceive in our hearts. But it needs to be in the depths of our depths, where deep cries out to deep, where the Spirit of God that searches all things, yes, even the Spirit of God Himself, comes and reveals those deep things about God to us. And it says there for 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. This is an amazing scripture. It's one of those scriptures that we can preach about for the next 6 months. And we probably still won't be able to grasp it. But tonight is just a kickstart where we say, Lord, we want to walk in the Spirit. And maybe tonight it's like Angie, where she walked out and said, Lord, everything inside of me, my eyes, my ears, my heart, my mind tells me there's no way I can conquer what has happened to me. But yet she said, Lord, I'm going to reach out. Lord, I want to see that what I can't see with my eyes, that what I can't see with my ears or perceive in my heart or understand in my mind. I'm going to reach for the deep things of God. Those things that goes above understanding. Because the Word of God speaks about the mystery of Christ. We live in times, we live in a period of grace. Since Jesus has come to the earth, died on the cross and resurrected, it's the period of grace. It's a place where it's not just only the Israelites or someone that is called into God's family. It's for every nation. It's for every people group. It's for every age. It's for every generation. But it speaks about that mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ that's been hidden since the beginning of the earth. And it says, now to him in Romans 16 verse 25 to 27, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. It says there then, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. It's not in the notes now and it's not on the board as well. But Jesus spoke to his disciples once. And he looked them in the eyes and he told them, he said, this what you are experiencing now, prophets has been longed to see. Angels have longed to experience that. We are so privileged to be able to stand on this side, to be able to go to the throne room of grace and say, Lord, I want to walk in this mystery of Christ. That mystery where the intimacy that you have developed us for, the intimacy that you have created us for, you have come and you've restored it on the cross. You've come and you restored it through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it says that the mystery kept since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. To God alone be wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Ephesians 5 verse 28 to 32 speaks about, Paul writes about the husbands and the wives. And he says there, so husbands ought to love your own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And I want us to focus here on verse 32, which Paul writes when he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ is still interceding at the right hand of the Father. All authority has been given to him. But he's praying for us as his church. He's praying for us as his bride every day to say, my children, come in. My children, move in. Come into this place. Come into this place of intimacy. Come into this place where I pull you in like a mother hen pulls in her chicks. I really believe when I prepare that this is a word for us as a congregation, and but specifically for George, is where I really felt that the Holy Spirit said that he's actually standing before George in this time. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's a new season, I don't know. But he's actually standing and he's saying, George, come in. Come in like a mother hen gathers her chicks, come in. And I believe that God has called us, and not just us, but all of the churches in George to start standing up for his kingdom to come in this place. That George won't be a place like where Jesus stands at Jerusalem and says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the prophets have come and the prophets have gone and you've rejected them. But receive those that come in the name of the Lord. Because I know there's many servants of the Lord in this town. There's more than 12 of us sitting here tonight, and God used 12 disciples to change the nations. And it's us, it's our responsibility to walk in, firstly to come to that place as little chicks unto the hen and say, Lord, we're close to you. We're close to your chest. We want to stand. So the Afrikaans say, lekker tussen die vere staan en lê. But it's really that place. It's so amazing if you've ever seen a chicken that runs with a little chicks behind her. It's like she's got a shadow underneath her and they want to be in that shadow. I've go check the next time when you look at a chicken with a chicklets. They run, and then there's always one because they start eating a bit, and then she lets them go underneath her or from her, and then they eat a bit, and then she moves on. And then there's always one or two that's like, pock, 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 here on the outside, and then she's already moved on 5 meters. And then you check them run from there under their mom's belly. What do you call it, chickens? Don't want to say bottom because that's at the backside. Probably just their belly, her bosom. But it's really a place, just check them run. They just because they know. And that's why Jesus uses that illustration. He says, when we walk apart, when he speaks to George and he says, George, some of you are pecking on the outside, but I'm here. Look where I'm standing, that we must call those people in. Whether through prayer, whether through evangelism, whether through just reaching out to those who've got need. But to say, come. Come and see that God is great. Come and see his goodness. Come and see his faithfulness. But not a sea with the eyes, a sea where deep cries out unto deep. I'm going to start ending off. It speaks about that place when it comes to intimacy, it's to know that we need to walk in adoration towards God. It speaks about Luke 10 verse 41 to 42. We all know the scripture. It's where Jesus came to visit Martha and Mary. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. I think the worst part of planting a church is that I become a little Martha. I'm always checking, is the chairs right? Is the speakers right? And it's something that the Lord is changing in my heart as well. But it's so amazing when it comes to our personal lives, is to come before God and say, Lord, I want to be like Mary. Because Martha, I told the Mosselbay congregation this morning, she was preparing the melk tart. She was asking Mary, Mary, bring the cinnamon, put it on the melk tart, because Jesus, he's going to get a third of this melk tart today. They probably didn't know he was fasting, but anyway. And she was looking for Mary, and there she walked in, and there Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And then Martha thought, okay, now Jesus is going to rebuke Mary. And then Jesus turned to Martha and said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled. What Mary has chosen cannot be taken away from her. It's a place of adoration. Ephesians 3 verse 17 to 19 speaks about it. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's amazing to know when it comes to adoring God, we sometimes sing, Lord, we come and adore you. And this is probably going to shift some of your minds tonight a bit. But God first adores us before we can adore Him. Because everything that we give unto God, we first receive from Him. There's nothing that we can give God that didn't first come from Him. The same love, the same praise, the same joy that we give back to God is what we allow Him to put in our lives. Because if you can read in, I think it's Zephaniah 3 verse 16 to 17, where Jesus, God speaks, He says, I rejoice over my people. I dance over them with singing, with songs of joy. And then we think sometimes we are great when we lift our hands and we clap hands to God. But I tell you, God is dancing over us. He's first dancing over us. That's why we can dance, and that's why we can jump up and say, Lord, you are awesome. I don't think God looks at us always and say, we are awesome. But it's that place where He looks down and He adores us. Because I'm going to tell you this afternoon, if God didn't adore us, Jesus never would have gone to the cross. You will not lay your life down even to the place of death if you do not adore the people that you're doing it for. And it's so amazing to know that that's that adoration that God has towards us. We said, but He laid His life down. And when Paul speaks about it, he says, but let us grasp that. Let us grasp that love. The height, the depth, the length, and the width. A four-dimensional love of God. Something that we cannot comprehend. He says that it surpasses knowledge. But a place where we come and say, Lord, but there where it really matters, there in the deepest of my deep, I want to know it. I want to experience it. I want to come to that place of seeing it in the depth of my depth. Matthew 9 verse 36 speaks about that compassion and the passion of Christ. It says there, but when He, that's Jesus, saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now I just want us to focus on the word compassion there on the next slide. Moved with compassion. There's the Greek word. If someone can pronounce that word for me, you can get two coffees at the end of the service. Any Greek people in the seats tonight? Fonsel, can you pronounce that word? Or you want to try it? Okay, me and my wife tried to pronounce it. I'm not even going to try it now because it comes out differently every time I try. But it says there, that word, moved by compassion, is the strongest word for pity in the Greek language. It is formed from the word, I can't even pronounce that, plekshna, which means the bowels. It describes the compassion which moved people to the deepest depths of their being. This is not an emotional thing that Jesus went through. This is a place where He was connected to the Father's heart. Where He said, Lord, there where your deep cries out to my deep, where the Spirit of God that searches all the deep things of God starts crying in the depths of our deepest parts. That's the compassion that Jesus had. It wasn't an emotional thing. It wasn't a thing where when we sometimes stop at the traffic light and someone knocks at the door and says, "2 rand small change, please." And we give it because we feel sorry for that person. It's not that type of compassion. It's a compassion that breaks. It's something that stirs in our innermost being from the Father heart of God. It's not emotional. It's spiritual. But it breaks open. It's something that starts turning. It's something that starts ruling over our heart, over our ears, over our mind, over our eyes. To say, "Lord, if that thing starts moving me, then I know it's of you." It's amazing. We went with a ministry training program on Saturday. We went to pray on one of the hills here at George. We looked over the city, prophesied a bit, and spoke words over the town and prayed a bit. But I went the Friday over lunch. I went quickly up there just to check that we can actually walk up there because you stop next to the road. So I went up, and when I got to the top, what's Miltstiek? Stitches. Is it stitch? Stitch. Stinch. Not a stinch. A stinch is something that smells. Huh? Stitch. Okay, I had a stitch. Julle weet wat 'n stitch is. Miltstiek. Ek's baie onfiks. Ek's binne die water. In the water I'm very fit, but on land I'm not so fit. If I don't have a bicycle, then I'm not very fit. So I went up there. It took me about 10 minutes. I got there. I was quite exhausted. And it was the first time that I could see George. You see the whole of George. You just miss a little bit of part of the dam and some of the suburbs there. But you see the rest. You even see up to Mossel Bay. And I stood there. And I thought, okay, now I'm here. I can see we're going to make it. And I just felt the Holy Spirit telling me, I must just stand there a bit. Just stand and look at the city. And I thought, okay, this is strange, but I'll stand. Because I'm tired anyway, so then it's easy to obey God. When you don't have to move, then if he says stand, then you don't worry. So I took a bit of a breath and I looked over the city. And then suddenly I just felt that God was standing there with me. And then that thing started happening. I started getting compassion for the city of George. I stood there on that hill on my own. There was probably one or two baboons looking at me thinking, this guy is weird. And I started crying over the city. And it wasn't an emotional thing. It wasn't a thing that I went up to do there. Okay, my wife, I'm going up the hill tonight. Today, I'm going to cry over the city. No, I went up there just to check a normal thing. The practicalities to take 20 people up there and take them down. And when I stood there, God had an appointment with me. And he stirred me in the deepest part of my depths for the city of George, for the people of George. And I knew when I went off that mountain, I had to go there. Not to take up 20 people the next day. It was for me. In a sense, I was if Moses had a mini Moses, I was mini Moses going up the mountain. I didn't stay there for 20 days or 40 days. I stayed there for 10 minutes. But God wanted to deposit something in my being, in the depths of my being. So I want to encourage you. God is going to move in our midst. He's going to deposit those things that the Holy Spirit searches, the deep things of God. He's going to deposit into our lives. For most of us, he's already deposited in our lives. But it's a place where we say, "Lord, that's what you've given us. We're going to walk with it. We want to see the city change." When it comes to the last part of there of intimacy is appreciation of the mystery. It speaks about the mystery of Christ. Luke 8 verse 1 to 3 speaks about it's funny when you look at the Gospels, the detail that God and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit brings in the Gospel. This is my second last slide or second last scripture. So those that want to yawn, you can start relaxing. You're going to yawn in 10 minutes time. But it's amazing to see when we look at the Word of God and we look at the Gospels, the tremendous detail that went in there. I'm not going to give a long teaching of what they've put in there and why they didn't put some stuff in and why they did and all that stuff. But we can know that the Holy Spirit has inspired every word and every passage that's been in there. And this is one of them. If you look through Luke was a doctor. He was very ordained and he went through his stuff and he showed the stuff of Jesus as it happened. Chronology, he went through it. Some of the things that John wrote about, he didn't even write about because he thought that was just because John was a bit weird, so he's not going to write about stuff like that. But he wrote about certain things that he knew the Holy Spirit showed him was very important. And if you go read Luke 7 and you go read Luke 8, you see this three verses is in the middle of something that's got nothing to do with the three verses at all. Go read it at home, you'll see it. But it says, "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of God." Now some of the Gospels just stop there and say, that's it. But then Luke goes forward and he says, and the 12 were with him, and a certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene. And then they don't stop there. They say, out of whom had come 7 demons. And then they say, and the Joanna, the wife of Sceva, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Now, the first time when I read this passage, when I read this scripture, and I felt the Holy Spirit leading me, I've read it before in the past, leading me when I prepared for the sermon to the scripture, I knew exactly what he was wanting to tell us. Because there's a little bit of detail there, because Luke could have just said that there was women with Jesus that gave him of their providence, of their substance, of their food, of their money, whatever they gave Jesus. But now Luke goes and he says, but there were certain women, and a specific woman called Mary Magdalene. And then he comes and he says, out of whom 7 demons has been cast out. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had 7 demons cast out of me, I wouldn't like it when people write all across the world about what happened to me. Would you agree? I don't think anybody would like that. But now he writes about it, but I want you to understand that in the times of when Jesus walked the earth, the Jewish tradition was like this, that in the eyes of the Jewish men, a Jewish lady was at the bottom of everything. Some of the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so forth, actually went so far that in their morning prayers, they prayed to God and they thanked him and they said, Lord, I thank you that you haven't made me a Gentile. I thank you that you haven't made me a slave. And I thank you that you haven't made me a woman. That's how strong they were in their case against women. So now Jesus comes and he says, but he's reaching out. The first woman, or the first person that Jesus actually reached out in the Gospels, was that lady at the well. He goes above cultural, he goes above barriers of anything against the society. But I just want us to see here that a woman didn't have any legal rights in the time when Jesus walked the earth, and specifically among the Jewish people. Some of the other places, like with the Gentiles and so forth, women had rights. But now these ladies are hanging with Jesus, because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to restore intimacy. Because if we as men start viewing ladies as being lower than ourselves, we take their intimacy away. So Jesus walks with this lady called Mary Magdalene, cast out the 7 evil spirits from her, and now she's walking with him. And I want our attention just to go now to Mark, and this is where I'm ending off. Mark 16, verse 9 to 11. And this is amazing. And it says there, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. Different gospel writers, but they bring that fact in. The Holy Spirit inspired it. And then verse 10 and 11 goes, she went and they told them that were with him, because they mourned and wept. And if you read there in verse 11, and they went, and when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. I want us, J.H., if you can just go back to that previous slide. When he rose early on the first day of the week, Jesus didn't appear first to his disciples. He didn't appear first to his critics. He didn't appear to people that we thought he would have appeared to first. He went to Mary Magdalene, an outcast out of the society, a woman that everybody looked upon, frowned upon, because 7 demons has been cast out of her. She had a stigma attached to her even after she's been healed from all those demons. And yet Jesus says, there's someone that understands intimacy. There's someone that will appreciate it if I go to her firsthand. Isn't it amazing how God is? And then she walks out there and she goes to the disciples, she goes to the rest, she says, listen here, he has appeared to me, he's alive. And they said, we don't believe you. And I tell you, sometimes God is going to come to you like he's come to Mary Magdalene. He's going to appear to you. In the Middle East, he is appearing to people in the physical sense, because there's no one that can bring the gospel to them. And sometimes he's going to appear to us in our spirit, speaking to us. Like he came when I was just on the mountain speaking to George or looking over George, and he came and he visited me and said, I want to establish something in the depth of your depth. Because Mary Magdalene walked out there and she didn't think of those people as hooligans because they didn't believe her. All she said is, I know my Savior lives. She walked out there. She said, Lord, I've got an intimacy with you that I know nobody else has now because they don't even want to believe me. But I'm walking in it. And tonight I want to end off there. Because I want to say maybe tonight there's many men of us here. Maybe there's women of us here in this place. That maybe we've been like Mary Magdalene. We've seen God move in our lives. But we started believing the people that didn't want to believe. We started believing those that said, but you cannot be intimate with God as you think you can. And we see it so many times when we go to Stellenbosch with our students. I came to salvation there. And when the Lord led me to get baptized, I still remember I phoned my parents. I said, you can come to my baptism. My mom said, she doesn't want to come because it's going to be a funny sight if they have to put me back into my dooprokkie. So I said, no, I'm not going with my dooprokkie. I'm going in my swimming shorts. And they couldn't make it. And I invited my sister that day. And I remember when she just sat there, she thought I was a bit mad because she said, you've already been baptized when you were a baby. I said, no, it's different. I've met intimately with my Savior. I want to show Him that I want to be obedient to His word and say, Lord, I want to be identified with the death and the resurrection of Christ. My sister just looked at me. Okay, Buddha, do my what you will do. But she was there. I remember I came out of that water. It was in the middle of August. You know you get baptized in the middle of August. If it's not a heated pool inside, it's outside. And I came out of that water and I looked at my sister and she was crying. Because I knew I couldn't convince her. I could do nothing. A year and a half later, my sister came to salvation. And she laughed at me getting baptized in the middle of August in Stellenbosch. She got baptized in the middle of winter in a dam in England. And it was so amazing to see that I didn't have to convince her. I didn't have to do anything. But that place where God spoke to me in those years to say, Paul, you need to get yourself baptized. Because that was my step of obedience to walk in more intimacy with God. I went there. And whether my family told me, we can't need it. Why do you do it? I know that seed has been planted. My dad is already starting speaking of Vasi Water. Vasi Water. We're still working on him. Whenever he had, about 3 years ago, he was like 99.9% close of being baptized. And then some woman or someone just told him again, no, it's not worth it. So now he's back to that again. But God is faithful. I think He's going to turn my mother first to get baptized, and then my dad will be like that little chicklet that runs to the end quickly. But it's amazing to know that God calls us for that place of intimacy. And all of that I'm going to ask tonight is if you don't walk in that intimacy, meaning that you've never even walked in a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not going to call us to the front or nothing tonight. I'm going to ask that you just come to me afterwards and say, Paul, I've never walked in a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I want to. Then I want you to come and speak to me afterwards. I want to pray with you. And I want to just introduce you to your Savior, Jesus Christ. But then there's a second group that I just want to pray with now. And if you know that God has been speaking to you about this place of intimacy, because I really believe that it's a season that God takes us in. It's a season of grace. Where we say, Lord, we open up to you. And God wants to start revealing those deepest deep of His Spirit. He wants to reveal to our spirits. Not to give it to us so that we can just run around and say, hey, I've received something or I've done something. But to be like Mary Magdalene in that quietness, just know that I'm walking in that intimacy. That I'm walking in that place. And sometimes God is going to call you up like He called me up on the mountain. And He's going to say, stand still now and listen. Stand still and receive. Stand still and look unto me and unto me alone. So when just as we stand, the worship band, you don't even have to come up. You can also receive. But if you know that God needs to change something, maybe it's just something in your mind, maybe it's something in your heart, maybe it's just tonight to say, Lord, but I haven't experienced that intimacy in quite a long while. I want to come back to that. It's just to stand as a symbol, just to say, Lord, I want it back. And I'm just going to pray a corporate prayer for all of us. But then as you stand, you just reach out to God and you say, Lord, touch me tonight. Because the thing is, Jesus, that compassion that he has for us to walk in intimacy is still the same that he had when he saw those crowds that didn't have a shepherd. So tonight, just as we are, we're not going to do anything funny. If you want to stand, you can stand. If there's no one standing, then I'll pray for myself. Because you don't have to look around. It's not about the person next to you or who's standing or who's sitting or anything like that. But just a place between you and God. I think you can just close your eyes, all of us, whether you're sitting or whether you're standing. And just reach out to God. As a symbol, if you want to raise your hands to him, if you want to put your hands in your pockets, that's also right. But just to come and stand and say, Lord, I want to reach out. Lord, I want to walk in that place of fullness. I want to experience and see the love of Christ that is high, that is deep, that is wide, that is long. A four-dimensional love. A love that I cannot comprehend with my mind. A love that I cannot comprehend with my heart even, that surpasses my knowledge. But it's something that grips me in the deepest of my deep. And Father God, I thank you tonight, Lord, for your heart. I thank you, Lord, for your heart over every person that's reaching out to you tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for your love. Lord, I just see this wave of your love coming. Your love just flowing over us, Lord God. I sense it's really a wave of refreshing, a wave of really cleansing, Lord God, taking stuff out, moving stuff. I just see a picture. I sense there's people here tonight that even your hearts, it's been weary, it's been hard, it's been carrying burdens. But tonight the Lord said he's taking that away. He's taking that away. I thank you, Lord, just for that cleansing tonight. And I thank you, Father, for impartation, not from my side or from anybody here, but by your Holy Spirit self, to come and reach out to the deepest part of our depths tonight, to everyone that's reaching out to you tonight. Lord, I bring every heart, I bring every mind, I bring every eye, I bring every ear that stands in the way. And we speak tonight and we say, Lord, we are open. Not just for tonight that you come and commune with us and be intimate with us, but for every day and every day of our lives going forward. And I pray tonight, Lord God, where you establish that intimacy in our deepest parts, that we will stand strong with that. That will become our pearl of great price, that we will treasure it so much going out of here tonight, that no one or no circumstance will take it away from us. In Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you would deliver us, Lord God, from the attacks of the evil one that wants to prosper in our lives. We want to declare that every weapon formed against us that wants to prosper and take away that intimacy will not prosper because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection power of Jesus that vested inside of each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, for your intimacy to break open in this week. I thank you, Lord, for revelations, Lord God. People are going to receive revelations from you through your word and just through communing with your Holy Spirit.